With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, no, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
You're listening to the Obesity Revolution. We're adding fat to fat. You can join the revolution. Follow the conversation and Sean's weight loss journey at theobesityrevolution.com. Now, here's Sean Mulroney.
Welcome to the Obesity Revolution. I am Sean Mulroney, and that's right. You can follow me at I am Sean Mulroney on all of our social media networks, and as well as go to theobesityrevolution.com. And we are excited and glad to have you that are listening and have listened, new listeners, everybody alike. And of course, you know, the Obesity Revolution, you know, the whole podcast is brought to you by the Obesity Revolution. And we are here to inspire, you know, we're here to help people to understand, to execute their dreams of what they're doing, their weight loss journey, and just life. And it's just not about the weight that you lose, it's about the life that you gain. And taking small steps is where it's all at. And, but nonetheless, I want to get right into this. If you missed part one, with Mike Young about getting, you know, back up after getting knocked down, you need to go back and listen to it. But I ended the last week's episode with a question on how can somebody, where do they need to start to get on track or to get where they need to go? And we're going to get right into that answer from Mike. And so let's go into this next episode.
I don't know if there's a single right answer because from my experience is that everybody's semi-unique, even though we're all the same, we're all human. The paths of their journey, they're in a different stage of their path. So it depends on what stage they're in and who they are, because just like we all have different personality types. I used to coach college baseball, and there were some kids that responded better if you yell at them, and there are some kids that they would go into the fetal position, right?
Yes.
But what I would say is, and this is partially because we know each other now. We've been working together with your business and stuff. I see that slightly people resemble the morbidly obese community, from what I can gather, resembles who I was, which is have become slightly too agreeable. You want to please people because you want that acceptance.
Yes.
You become slightly too neurotic, which means you're inside your own head way too much.
Yes.
And so I think the fastest way to begin any journey is to get clear on what you want. And it can be as simple as I want to be able to go outside and I want to lose weight. I want to reclaim my life. And then find somebody that's already done it and ask for help. And I think that's the fastest way to get results in this world, is to realize that you're just a single human being in a network filled with other human beings. Mm-hmm. And there's somebody out there that knows exactly how you feel, that's already broken through a lot of the major obstacles, and they know the path, and they're not only willing to help you, they feel like it's their duty to help others. And you're in that position today. I'm in that position today, because once you can kind of break through these things, and you know how hard it is to break through it and just to make the decision that you're worth it and to go after it, it's just as hard sometimes to ask for help if you've become too neurotic.
Yes.
Because you're beating it. You're just like, well, I should be able to do this on my own. I'm 40 years old.
Yeah,
why can't
heck?
I get, why can't I get my act together?
Suck, you start beating yourself up, and you know, that's with hate. You know what I mean? You know, haters to me are motivators. They have become, but you know, I've been my biggest hater. And yeah, that's what course. I said. I've destroyed myself way more than anybody else has. I told myself I wasn't worthy and become neurotic to the bone. I mean, I'm talking fiber of my being.
I think too is like, let's put it into context, which is number one, I would just say you are worth it. Your life does matter. That you, if you can decide that you want to go after something and then ask for help from somebody who's already done what you're trying to do, you're going to get there a heck of a lot faster. But the reason that it's so important, I'll tell you a story of how I found one of my, I've had two, what I consider mentors in my life. And how I found the second one was the second one had hit a place in his business where he really felt committed to help other people. Mm-hmm. And so he had a course, a copywriting course, and he gave it to a buddy of mine. The mentor's name is Mitch Miller. The buddy of mine, his name's Mike TG. He's a Marine in Phoenix. And I was working on my copy at the time. And Mike said, "Hey, I have this $2,000 course that Mitch gave to me because I had a conversation with him, and Mitch just felt generous at that point. Like, hey, let me just give you my course. Don't worry about it.
Sure.
I'm not going to charge you $2,000. Just have the course, man." Well, that led me 6 months later to where Mike was referring me to Mitch to improve my copy skills. Then next thing I know, I'm 9,000 miles away in Thailand at Mitch's house because I desperately wanted to fix my business back in the day. Wow, and Mike. And so where does that road, not to go too deep down the rabbit hole, but where does that road end? And how, like, what are all the decisions that happened? And you talked about this, like, most of what I've tried over the last 15 years has not worked. Most, I would say 95 right. plus percent. So people love to take these snapshots today. They love to read headlines and come up with their opinions on how the world works or what they believe between red states and blue states because they read a headline, whatever it is.
Or even social media. I mean, everybody wants to do the highlight reel.
Where does that road end? Because I know for a fact that at least a handful of my clients, I've saved their life.
Yeah.
Like they were frustrated with their business. They're borderline on becoming suicidal. They're so frustrated with their business. So one person's decision to give away a $2,000 course led.
That's awesome, you know, Mike.
Play that out. And how many lives are we saving together collectively? Because we're making the right decisions blindly and badly in the beginning. And we're making mistakes, but we at least have the frickin' courage to take action towards something we find meaningful. And that's actually something I want to tap into real quick.
Yeah, please do. Please do.
You made the decision because it was really around your kids, which is very similar to
part
mine.
Of my why, yes.
Was, and I think people should have I think you could have endless whys. But I really think you at least need to, when it comes to running a business, you need a deep-seated personal why. Mine was, I knew that my kids, no matter what I said, they were going to take action based on modeling their parents' behavior. That's just how humans work.
Yeah, yeah.
And so what I told myself in the beginning is if I don't make my business work, if I don't get back up off the mat, $200,000 in debt in 2008, I think it was.
That was during the time all the stuff went down, the crash and everything.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah.
During
that time. That was part of it, but I didn't tell myself it was the crash's fault. It was all my fault, right? I just told myself the story. I told myself is if I don't get up and go after my dreams and my what I want, it shows my kids what it looks like to settle, to be complacent. And so that was an underlying why for me that got me through all the dark days. You know, the times when things don't work and you try things and you maybe make some big mistakes. I've made tons of big mistakes. But that was always more painful than quitting itself to me was really? My underlying why.
Yeah.
And then the business why kind of came from 2015. My brother-in-law took his own life. That's kind of what snapped me out of my funk, to be honest, was I just said, hey, I got one life. Maybe it's time for me to realize that this entire story so far is a chapter book. And so let's just say I have 40 chapters left to write and I'm going to die at, you know, 87 or whatever it is. How do I want to write those chapters? And the second, the business why was around, I know that there's people out there that are 3 feet from gold.
Yes.
And
yes.
I know there's people out there that are 3 feet from the grave because they're thinking about taking their own life.
That became
my business. Why was it's my duty to market my business, to put myself out there, to show up, because when I don't, people suffer. People have expenses they don't need to have. People die. And that's my mindset. And it doesn't matter if it's true or a reality. It's a reality to me, which is all that matters.
Wow, Mike. Dude, well, I like what you said about people are three, you know, feet away from gold, or they're 3 feet away from their grave. And it's all about that perception. And what, here, let me say this. What I feel that you being the makeover, you know, doing that made over, which is your book. I feel that you cut all the brush. It's like you're pioneering, if you know what I mean. And that whenever we start working together, you know, what you did is you cleared the path out to where, you know, people don't want to be a pioneer because everybody, you know, we have roads because of pioneers, you know, had somebody not, you know, went ahead of us and, you know, did all the excavating. And even back in the 1800s, you know, finding these paths that there wasn't, they had the visionary to where they had to see that and, okay, then see that road and have that dream, you know what I mean, that road was going to be there and this is the way it was going to go. Well, that's what I feel that you do. You clear out all the brush, all the minutiae. You know, you're seeing the forest through the trees. You know, you're like, okay, here's the path. And then all of a sudden you get that intuition of, okay, here's what you did need to do, which, like I said, everything, even in your free group, you know what I mean, that you have, which that's going to be all in the notes and everything. The thing that's going down to that path is that you are a pioneering path clearer. That's how I can make it. That's how I can explain in my life, by you mentoring me and being, you know, a friend to me. That's how I feel that you are, which is epic. And that's why I feel that everybody, you know, whether you're dealing with obesity, you have grips of that. I mean, that's what, Brandon, Brandon never suffered with obesity. You know, was a trainer, went to 4 years of college. You never struggled with obesity, but you have the path. If we implement the things of being a makeover, you know, master, you know, or made over, and we are in the obese community, we want to be made over. And the way that the world has designed it, even The Biggest Loser or My 600-Pound Life, which these reality shows that exploit, you know, fat people, it's got to stop. And that's what you are. I want to be made over, and that's what you're doing. And that's how I look at you, which is phenomenal, which is epic. Well,
Sean, sorry to interrupt. I would just say it's so important that people get their mindset right, like you mentioned in the beginning, because it's all these little things that add up to a big thing. Like on my computer, this is a dumb example, but it'll make the point. When I go into my computer and I have tons of graphic design projects going on and everything else, well, the folder I click says, you know, the Makeover Master. Well, inside that folder says family. And the family folder is all the clients, because that's my mindset. My mindset is these are not clients. It's family to me. That's why I make friends. That's why I have empathy. That's why I care. I care enough not to solve all my clients' problems for them, because if I solve all of the problems, they don't encounter the obstacles and adversity that make them stronger. And that took me almost a decade to learn that lesson. Actually, it took me 40 years to learn that lesson. But when I, because my mom's a classic enabler,
mine too.
When you enable people too much and you help them too much, they're not able to stand on their own two feet at the end of the journey.
Nope.
They got to go, there's some missions you have to go it alone. And that's why it's so important that your audience, you know, yes, you're worth it, but also the ability to ask for help from somebody who's already done what you're trying to do. When you realize that you're in a network of humans, you're literally one person away from a million people and two people away from a billion. It means if I just get clear on what the hell I want, if I just get clear on what the hell I want and can articulate what I want to another human being, I can find it within two people. For example, if I really wanted to speak with Oprah Winfrey, well, I know my friend Larry Jackson. Larry Jackson knows Michael Jordan personally. Michael Jordan knows Oprah. You know, it's like really quickly.
Yeah, you step away.
But so many people, our brains are having between, and I don't know the actual number, but it's between 12,000 and 30,000 thoughts a day. And so there's a lot of noise going on in our heads. What I've found is when people get very, very clear and they're able to articulate what they want, what most people do is they're like, well, I want to lose weight and I want to feel good about myself and I want to look good in this and I want to do this. And so the person listening hears 17 things that you want to do and they don't know how to help you. So you got to take literally have to take one step at a time. You're like, yes. I want to lose weight. I'm looking for a mentor, and I'm morbidly obese. Well, who the hell is the first person I'm going to think of if I had somebody ask me that? I'm going to be like, you need to go in Sean Mulroney's group. You need to go into the Obesity Revolution. Go into their paid programs because you were clear on what you wanted and you took the time to raise your hand and ask for help.
Wow, Mike, that's just an incredible outlook and focus that when people are seeing that to where, okay, here, I'm going to go this path to where that is a gift. I mean, this is like your calling to where this is helping all of us to where, okay, hey, what do I want to do? And if I'm an impetuous person, that's me. I'm like the Kool-Aid man. Oh yeah. You know what I'm saying? I'm ready to, you know, make a door where there's not a doorway. And I've gotten involved in a lot of things. I want to go to the moon, but I don't even have a freaking rocket ship on how to get there. And so I'm wanting to do all these things. And that's what you know, cleared my way is that, you know, I've had, you know, great people, you know, in my life, you know, Shu, who's, you know, helps with us, our podcast and all that stuff. And Scott, they told me to get out of my way. So it was like that process that I didn't understand that. And then all of a sudden coming down to where, you know, I was ready and I wasn't ready at that time. It's like you said, 10 years ago, it comes to that point is that, okay, I'm seeing here to where, now it's I'm looking at, you know, I was looking at the murky waters, you know, I'm like trying to make it. Now it's like it's all getting clear. It's starting to get like at, you know, going to the Bahamas and seeing that blue water that you can see the bottom of the ocean bed, you know, right there, or the coral reef or whatever it is. And it was all about, you know, starting with a vision, right? And you started nothing but a vision, and you risked it all to get what you want. Tell us about that, Mike.
Yeah, I would say the vision originally was loose and it was vague. I wanted the entrepreneurial dream. I wanted to work when I wanted, where I wanted, with who I wanted. I wanted money to magically arrive in my bank account. I didn't know how any of that was going to work. I had no clue how it was going to work. I decided that that's what I wanted. I decided that if I quit, it shows my kids what it looks like to quit going after your dreams and settle, and which was unacceptable to me.
Right.
And I began taking action. And I just happened to do it in a weird way. I wouldn't say weird. I'd say it's actually common. I began reading books and taking courses and going to seminars and going to events. But this is why it's so important that you actually solve the mindset issue first, because all of that was the same. It was the exact same as drinking and drugs to me. It was the exact same as porn. It was exact same. You name the addiction.
Yeah.
It was the books and seminars and knowledge products was my addiction to not deal with the underlying psychological issue that I was beating myself up for losing all this money, for losing a business with 250 employees. And until I dealt with the issue, none of the other stuff would ever work. And it took me $200,000 in books and courses before I recognized that. And I even then I needed help from an outside perspective, from somebody that was courageous enough to say, the issue's not with your knowledge. The issue is internal. And if you don't deal with that first, and that led me to my mindset guy. You know, it led me to, I asked for help. I end up in frickin' Thailand to work with Mitch Miller. And at that first meeting, one of the people in the audience said, you actually have a psychological issue that needs to be dealt with first, and introduced me to Clay Moffitt. And Clay said, I can help you. He's an NLP hypnosis frickin' wizard is what I call him. But he said, hey, I can definitely help you. If you want to come to my house tomorrow, I'll help you out. Well, I just said yes. I felt like that whole period of time, that whole decade before that, I really feel like it's that movie Yes Man with Jim Carrey. It's yeah. like I had no yes. clue yeah. what was going to happen, but I just kept saying yes to opportunities instead of no. That was really the difference. Is when people say, hey, do you want to learn? If it got me closer to my end goal and my mission, I said yes to it. It didn't matter if it was building skills or character or wisdom or knowledge. It didn't matter. It was getting me one step closer to my goal. And I wasn't going to allow someone to look at me and say I've plateaued when they don't realize that I actually was solving the underlying issues for almost 2 years. You know, nobody can see that. Nobody can see those results.
But how do you decide? Like, let me ask you this. How does somebody decipher that? I mean, how... If they don't know, you don't know what you don't know, but how can somebody decipher that? I mean, what was that thing that, you know, clicked to say, okay, I'm going to say yes, I'm yes, 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 yes. You know what I'm saying? Which, how do you decipher that?
Tremendous pain and suffering, or tremendous pleasure and passion. One of those two, and it helps to have the combination of both at the same time.
That's
so
good.
They did all these... you know, like our brains are very similar to rats' brains, right?
Yeah.
Which is why they experimented on rats so much. But what they found is it didn't matter when a rat in a maze, it didn't matter how big you made the end incentive. Like, it didn't matter if it was cheese and then it was the best kind of cheese and then there was some, you know, they could keep increasing the incentive on what the rat actually wanted, and it didn't increase the speed at which he moved through the maze. But rats are biologically deathly afraid of cats for very good reason. So even if a rat has never experienced a cat, they still are biologically hardwired, so to speak, to be deathly afraid of cat scent. So when they put cat scent behind the rat and a big piece of cheese, the rat got through the maze in almost half the speed. So you at the same time should be
good.
deathly afraid of what you're moving away from. And I think a lot of times with morbidly obese, it's like,
yes, you are.
It's those things nobody wants to talk about, right?
Yes.
Like if I don't change this, I'm going to die. My kids are going to be left without a father. What's that going to do to them psychologically?
Yes.
And you start having that conversation. That's a good thing to run away from for sure. At the same time, pick something meaningful that you're running towards, you know. And
that's
I think
good.
the other thing too is make sure this life is short, man. You know, we were talking before we started recording about you just had a passing in your family. My grandma died a few weeks ago. Well, life is short. You're going to die. You're going to make mistakes. You're going to be judged. So stop thinking about those things. They're going to happen. So just begin making progress towards what
That's
you actually
good.
Want while running away from you what you don't want. And the reason I was telling you this before we started recording, I had my grandma was very close to me, very close. I didn't It didn't even cry. It was the first person that died. Well, I wouldn't say that. I did cry the day that she passed. But it had very little effect on me, which surprised the hell out of me because I'm extremely empathetic. But it, and I was thinking about this a lot. I was like, why am I not more bothered that my grandma just died? And it was because I didn't leave anything on the table. I played all out. I had the conversations. I spent the time with her that I, you know what I mean? It's like I look back and I don't regret a single damn decision.
That's especially awesome, man.
Especially over the last 5 years. And that's what eats people up, is when they look back and they regret not taking the swing, not shooting the shot. And so I just feel that's like good, you're worth,
bro.
You're worth it. The decisions you make today to get healthy are going to have a ripple effect, and you don't know where that's going to lead. Mm. But my gosh, is it worth it? Is it ever worth it?
Yeah.
How many times do you do a podcast, Sean, and get a message behind the scenes? You know,
yes.
Those things are like 55 Red Bulls.
They are. I mean, it's better than any kind of food. You know what I'm saying? Whenever you get that, or somebody says, "I started my journey because I seen one of your videos."
Yeah,
there's nothing like that.
And so this is the one thing I would say to your audience too, is positive feedback loops work both ways. And so if you have an experience at a very young age, you're traumatized or verbally abused or physically abused or whatever, you can begin a positive feedback loop of beating yourself up, of telling yourself a false narrative, of not taking care of yourself or whatever it is, right? And 20, 30 years later, next thing you know, you're 687 pounds wondering how the hell you got there.
Yeah.
Well, positive feedback loops work the other way too, which is if you can make incremental decisions, you know, it's kind of that analogy of how do you eat a big elephant, right? It's like one bite at a time.
That's right.
And so you just, if you can make incremental progress toward something you find deeply meaningful, you'll have no regrets at the end of this thing.
Dude, Mike, man, we could go on forever. I mean, we're coming to a close on this, but here's the thing. You said about regrets, right? You know, I don't regret anything because I don't want to suffer for it twice. Mm. That's what I feel regrets are. You know, I went back over my life and I had to stop that because I had so many regrets. You know what I mean? Well, you caught it whenever you said, man, why are you doing? Quit talking, you know, like that. Mm-hmm. You know, remember, you caught it right off the bat. Mm-hmm. And that's what I do, is that my whole thing is that I had to get right. You know, number one, my mental illness, you know, that I have, that I didn't get diagnosed. I had it all my life and then didn't realize it because I was dismissive about it. And then all of a sudden what I would do is like, you know, oh man, I lost 20 pounds. Okay. And then I gained 2 pounds. Well, you know what my thing that I do is I focus on the 2 pounds that I gained rather than the 18 that I lost.
You and most human beings, my friend.
it's terrible, though. It's like if I learn to do that to where, you know, it's like, and then regretting is that, you know, here, everything that happened, you know, for a reason. And somebody asked me in an interview one time, they said, Sean, would you change, if you could go back in time and change anything, would you? And I said, no, without even hesitating. Because everything has made me who I am today, Mike. Mm-hmm. Whether I like it or not, whether it's something that is good, bad, ugly, indifferent, you know what I mean? Everything framed me. But the thing is most people can't get their mindset to catch up to that. And then it takes them down a bad path to where they don't want to. That's where bitterness leads to. You know what I'm saying? That's where, you know, all these different phases that root. So that.
Well, I think that's true. Like, especially with obese people that are socially judged. There's no way around it. You know, they've done all those studies, like, you know, thin, attractive people are more successful. They make more money. They have more opportunities. It's a reality. You know, the statistics are clear. And so, but that positive feedback loop down the road to hell, you know, where it's like, I was abused or whatever. And then I decided to tack on alcohol addiction on top of it. Then I decided to tack on drugs. Then I decided to tack on masking it and avoiding and denial and maybe a sense of humor, a self-deprecating sense of humor on top of that. Yeah. And before you know it, you're telling yourself a story over 20, 30 years and that you're not worth it and that your life doesn't matter. But when what happens a lot of times too, and I know that you're aware of this, I think the number is 30 million that you've told me, 30 million people that are agoraphobic, where that led them to a place where it was more isolation, more retreating. And next thing you know, you haven't gone out of your home in a year or 2 years. Well, the answer is not shocking the system and just putting that person in front of a football stadium filled with 50,000 people. Sometimes it's showing them a picture of what the outdoors looks like and getting them to be like, hey, are you willing to walk to the front door? Are you willing? Okay, if we can walk to the front door, that's all we're going to do today. And the story, I have a client that was a fitness trainer, and his client, for whatever reason, was resisting going to the gym. So for 3 weeks, the only thing they did, drive to the gym and sit in the parking lot for 15 minutes. Wow. It took him 3 weeks to go inside the gym.
Wow. And,
but that's it. It's like other human beings that are judging you will not find merit or give you validation as you desperately seek validation in this stage too, which is a catch 22.
Yes.
You want affirmation. You want people to recognize all those things. They won't do it when they can't see that internal work I've done, driving to the parking lot and sitting there. They don't find that life changing, or, you know, it's like, it's not a big enough miracle for them to be like, hey, good job, you drove to the parking lot, you know? And so, but it was a required step in that person's evolution. It was a required step in their progress that they had to drive to the gym and sit in the parking lot for 3 weeks before they went into the damn thing. And that's really what it's about, is find something that you want to work towards that's big and meaningful. If you make the goal too big, and like you have big ambitions, Sean, and that's like, yes, we can be on, I know Oprah doesn't have her talk show anymore, but she's a good example. It's like, yes, you can be on Oprah. Yes, you can have a revolution. Yes, you can impact millions of people. But how about we start with just one? Yeah. You know,
let's
make a difference in one person's life today. Wow. And let's see where the ripple leads us.
And, that's good,
and
Mike,
let me keep showing up and doing everything I can in my power to go after my mission full steam ahead. And I'll say one other thing. Most people lie to themselves all the time, including me. We make up all sorts of bullshit, excuses and reasons, and I don't have time, and I didn't have energy, my knee was hurting. It's like, it's all BS. If you find something and you can attach the meaning in your mind that is so deep that, like, I don't have trouble getting out of bed. I didn't have trouble coming to this podcast today. Like, I know somebody's going to hear it and begin taking action down a journey they've been avoiding for a very long time. And it's okay. It's okay. Find a group that supports you. Find a mentor and a guide that's already lost the 112 you're trying to lose, and begin. That's my advice.
Jeez. Mike, this is powerful, brother. I mean, this is life-changing. You're the man. I mean, it just is this. You think about this. I'm the king of BS. So, I mean, I got my name really. So my full name is Brian Sean Moroney. You know what my initials are? B.S. Moroney. Mm-hmm. So my parents named me properly. You know what I'm saying? So I've lied to myself so many times and still do it. And it's like, you know, you're only lying to yourself. What does it matter? You know what I mean? And then it causes more stress by lying, because then you got to cover it up with a hundred other lies. You know what I'm saying? To where it just doesn't make sense. And you know, it's like me on Baywatch. It doesn't make sense. You know, it just doesn't, you know, but I'll be on Baywatch someday. But anyway, so that's beside the point. But just now,
And we talked about that. It's like you got to reframe that. It's like the BS needs to stand for something else.
Yeah, you know, exactly. Like
it's like just everything should stand. Like you've got to rename. You have to rename.
That's clients good. That's good.
You know, clients to family. You know, you've got to rename. You got to rename all these things in your head, and you know, I think you got one life, man. You got one life. It's much shorter.
It is,
if you're not taking care of your mindset and your health.
It is.
And it's okay. Like, dude, that's the one thing too, is like this is a weird thing. I had a friend who was abused at a very young age, and he got into his 30s, and he says something now that seems awkward when you hear it for the first time, but he says, it's my fault I got abused. Even though I was a kid, I put myself in a situation, and I got abused by my uncle or whatever it was. I can't remember off the top of my head, but that was a realization that he had to come to for himself in his own head. It was a way to reframe the conversation in the fact of, it's everything's within my control. The situations I put in, he was taking ownership is what he was doing.
Yeah.
And that's what scares the crap out of most people, is when you start anything new for the first time, you're going to suck at it. You're going to be judged. Yeah. And the other thing is, you're doing something unknown. And that's kind of, you talked about these pioneers, right, that are forging roads through forests back in the 1800s and stuff. Well, the reason that it was a dangerous job is there's a lot of stuff that was unknown. What's behind there? Are there snakes? Are there spiders? Are there, you know, what is actually behind this unknown thing? And that's what scares the crap out of people. It gives them anxiety. And so you have to chunk that complexity down to something more manageable that they can wrap their minds around. And sometimes it's just drinking enough water throughout the day, you know, and pick the smallest task that you can begin and make progress.
Mm. Yeah. Everybody, if you gotta apply this, that this is powerful stuff. So Mike, final thought, everybody out there, what is your final thought to all of this, to bring this together?
I would say, if you find yourself today and you're not getting the results that you want in your life or with your health or with whatever's important to you, is to realize that it doesn't matter if it's 5 minutes ago or it was World War II or it was when you were 7 years old. The past is the past. It's the same. It's the same distance in the past. You know, the past is just this construct we make up. So I would say, forgive yourself for whatever's already happened, but your remaining chapters are left to be written, and decide that you're worth it. Find somebody that's already done the thing that you're trying to do. Ask them for help. If they say no, there's 7.8 billion other people that don't know who the hell you are that would gladly help you. There's somebody out there that's dedicated their life towards helping others in the area that you seek to improve. And just begin, you know, don't wait for January 1st. People lie to themselves right all the time on January 1st. Like this whole thing about time and whatever, like time is short. You don't know if you're going to die tomorrow. You're going to die an hour. I don't know if I'll be here 2 hours from now. Right.
Right.
So make a decision, tell yourself you're worth it, ask for help, and begin making progress towards it. And you'll see things dramatically turn around really, really fast when you stop giving a shit what other people think.
Wow. That's it right there. Wow. And reach out and just humble yourself and reach out and ask for help. That's the first step. You got to, and like you said, Mike, you got to, and there's so many ways that somebody's a business, you know, out there, somebody that's listening to this, and how can people, and of course, everything that you do is going to be in the show notes, but how, if somebody wants to work with you, Mike, what do they need to do and where can they go?
Yeah, you can visit, I'm on Facebook, Instagram, LinkedIn, and YouTube. And then my website is themakeovermaster.com, And we've got a ton of free resources on there. We've got a free course. We've got some free ways that you can engage with my group or a little bit of mentoring from us. But yeah, I would just say, if you're running a business and that's your primary struggle right now, I'm glad to help. Because, and I think that's the thing, right? Like you are passionate about what you do, Sean, and you care because you've been there.
Yes.
And I care because I know what it feels like to sit in my home office, beat myself up, almost drink myself to death because I was such a failure to lose all this money. I was a failure as a husband. I was a failure as a father. Those were the conversations going through my head. I just found somebody that happened to be homeless 10 years before me. And so he remembered that pain and he helped me out when I asked for help.
Wow. So what the takeaway is that, you know, find somebody that's had the same pain as you because they have empathy, you know, or even how about sympathy? You know, it's like we know what we go through. You know, empathy is, you know, going through something and being, you know, realizing and thinking that you're in their shoes or putting yourself in their shoes. And sympathy is like, man, I've been where you're at.
And yeah, I mean, I would agree with that because if they've already done what you're trying to do, they remember all the steps.
They do. They do.
They've got the map. And like, that's why it's so easy for me now. It's like I can have a conversation with somebody and I can listen to their words and watch their body language and their tonation. And I can tell what's going on pretty quickly. And the reason I can tell that is I used to be you.
Wow.
Just, bro. I just weighed less, man.
Wow, Mike. I love you, man. I can't, I mean, no, seriously. I mean, yeah. Well, that's my inner self. So I mean, that's where I'm at. And like I said, I'm, you've changed my life and you changed, you know, you've helped the obesity revolution, your team. I highly recommend anybody that needs to be mentored and get a makeover is to work with Mike Young. And I'm going to tell you what, you will not regret it. And it's worthy the investment. You got to put and you got to invest in that. That's where it comes down to. So bottom line is Mike Young, you changed my life, brother. And not only that, you're changing the course of the lives of other obese people, the ones that need it, the untapped source of people that aren't reach, the unloved, the unreachable, the ones that are hiding in the shadows of obesity. But then you've come and it's all, we're in the same walk of life. And, you know, obesity is not just the subject. I mean, there's more to it. And it doesn't make sense. People say, well, what do you have a person that's never been obese? Well, it doesn't make sense, but that's fine. We did that because here's the thing. He understood it's the perception and it's also which we put into it and how we can get along. And then us coming together to say, wait a minute, I get it. And I want to change people's perception, people that have never been obese to say, wait a minute, I am going to be empathetic and say, I've never been there. So how can I assume that you're going through all this stuff whenever I don't even know and you haven't lost weight as fast as I, and right, frankly, I don't care. I got over that. I take a nice big, you know, cup of, I don't give a rip every day because the thing is I've had to get to that because people, you know, can get under your crawl and think, well, why aren't you doing this? Well, everybody's an armchair quarterback, you know what I'm saying? Mm. Or everybody, you know, things that they know, hey, we'll do this. Well, have you done this? Well, now I Google this. That's what I heard another trainer one time said he couldn't help me, but why don't you Google, you know, how to help? That's what he said to me. I'm like, what?
Yeah.
You know, for crying out loud.
I think the thing is too, is like, it's such a minor shift that's extremely difficult to do in the beginning. But it's literally shifting your focus away from what you don't want towards what you do. And I would just end by just saying if you can reframe that conversation right, then it's not about the other people. It's not about the other people judging. It's about the people you can help. And so when I, you know, like if I don't show up and do my thing, then there's somebody out there that's 3 feet from gold that might just need one piece of advice to break them through. There's somebody out there that maybe is willing or ready to take their own life that doesn't have to be there. And so Like, those are the conversations. And if I don't show up, it shows my kids what it looks like not to go after your dreams, and screw that. You know, like, so it's like, if you can get your deep-seated meaning right and tell yourself that story, it provides you all the rocket fuel you need to get up out of bed, to get out of the house, to go to the gym, to do whatever you need to do.
I'm too far out on a branch now. I can't come back. You know what I'm saying? It's like my kids already, you know, they work out with me. You know what I'm saying? They want to eat live a healthy lifestyle. You know what I'm saying? And people that, you know, have followed my journey, you know, people said they'll come and lynch me if I quit or if I can't find me, or people will send me a message. Hey, man, everything good? You say you haven't seen will you let us know when you go and all that? And that's a good thing, because I did that when that video went viral, my first one back, you know, in 2017. It was like I did that for my family just to be more accountable, never realizing that this would make myself accountable to where I put myself out, just like getting that picture of, you know, face, you know, going to the parking lot of a gym. I did that to put myself, never realizing that was going to go. And then now I got the whole, you know, kibosh on me that I can't quit even when I want to quit, because I quit every day. And then
you did the worst possible thing, man. It's like if you are morbidly obese and you have agoraphobia, you're actually afraid of the two biggest fears at the same exact time.
Yes.
The two biggest fears that people have are dying. We have a tremendous anxiety around death. And the second one is social rejection.
Yes.
And that goes into mating, because if you're rejected socially, maybe you can't reproduce, you know, maybe there's not somebody that'll sleep with you. And and so what's so interesting about that is I would actually say for most people, it's what you did is you kind of ripped the Band-Aid off. Because first video, like if you're afraid of being socially rejected and going out of the home, and your first video has 1.3 million views, it's like, there's no turning back from that, brother.
That's what I say. And then all of a sudden, it just started going like an avalanche, you know, like a snowball, you know, going down the hill. And it was like, okay, here it is now. I can't go back, and, you know, going through this to where, you know, it was like capitalizing on that, you know, wait, okay, now your butt's out there so far, you can't go back.
For sure.
And I think that's what people don't want to do, is that they don't put themselves out there far enough. And that's what I try to do too, Mike, is everybody that comes to me, I try to get them to make a statement video. You know why? If they could do that, they come out of the shadows and say, okay, here I am. And the ones that have done it has changed their lives.
Yeah, we do the same thing in branding. We call it SOS post, but it's basically a 5-part story of announcing to your audience, like, this is who I am. And this is where I spent 23 years of my life thinking I was going to play pro baseball. That didn't work out. Yes, I went from millionaire to 200 grand in debt. Lessons. So it's almost like the Eminem 8 Mile movie.
Yes.
It's like if you just tell people how it is, they have no ammunition against you. Wow. If you just lay it all out there. And I just think, you know, if you're agoraphobic, or if you are morbidly obese and you just haven't, it's all a story. And like, you know, take BSM, right? BS Maroney. Well, what if that stood for bold and strong? Mm-hmm. You know, because you have, the thing is, how the story is, this is the story I see that you are starting to tap into more and more every time we speak, but I see strength. I see courage. I see somebody who was deathly afraid, probably in the beginning, that had 1.3 million views. Do you know the courage that takes to put yourself out there on that stage like that and have 1.3 million eyeballs on you? And so I don't see weakness when people ask for help. Wow. I see strength and courage.
Man, Mike. That does my heart good saying that. I mean, I do bold and strong. And that's what, you know, Brian, the word Brian means strong. That's what it means. And, you know, Sean is it's of course the word, you know, the Gaelic word for John, which my parents are both from Dublin, Ireland. They were born and raised there. And so Sean means evangelist, which is just a proclaimer. Okay. So that was how the names of coming down to where not meaning anything of it, and that they proclaim. And so what my name is Strong Evangelist or Strong Proclaimer. And, you know, bold and strong is right there. I mean, Mike, what you said, and everything's in the name. You know, that names matter. Things like that matter. And then whenever you take that to where you did that, you know, and that's even what I'm documenting is that, okay, I'm documenting the good, the bad, and the ugly. And even now, pronounced whenever we had our, you know, last call, is that change, that paradigm shift change, is that I'm just not me going, you know, to the gym or me, you know, doing this or my weight loss, because everybody's looking at that. Well, today I'm going to tell you about, hey, my sleep patterns. You know what I'm saying? Here, you know, I'm going through this wound. You know what I'm saying? I'm having, you know, issues with dizziness. You know, whatever the case may be, I'm documenting, which we're working on. And thanks to you, Mike, is putting that in perspective. That is what the makeover is all about, and anybody is worth a makeover.
Like if you go to pick up your cup of coffee tomorrow morning, you don't have to think about it, right?
No.
But in the beginning, when you're like two or something, you're really thinking about it. Like, I see a thing, I want to grab it. I'm thinking about my hand. I'm thinking about my hand grabbing the mug, whatever. It's similar to the mindset stuff. In the beginning, you have to decide and tell yourself a different story. And in the beginning, it's going to feel forced and awkward and fake. Wow. But the moment that you're building a positive reinforcement, you're picking up the mug over and over again until it becomes part of you and it's integrated in you. And the day that you fully believe the story you're telling yourself is the day that everything begins to change.
Oh, Mike, man, this is good stuff. Well, Mike, I appreciate you being on, brother. I appreciate you being my friend and my mentor. And thank you for everything that you have done for me and for the business community and for taking the time. And, you know, I thank you from the bottom of my heart.
It's my pleasure, man. I hope you have a great rest of your day.
You too. Well, on behalf of the Obesity Revolution, I'm Sean Maroney. And get healthy and stay healthy. And find that way you get knocked down. You are, just like we heard, you need to get back up again. You know, you might fall down 7 times, but rise up 8. Take that first step. Put it in perspective. Change your name, you know what I mean? Whatever you are, don't do that. Don't listen to what society and your whole life has gone through. You heard it to sum it up, because you are worth it and you matter. Love you.
Thanks for listening to the Obesity Revolution. Now it's your time to join the revolution. You can follow Sean's weight loss journey and get coached by trainer extraordinaire Brandon Glore at theobesityrevolution.com.
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on ChumbaCasino.com. I looked over at the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Coincidence? I think not. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere, even at 30,000 feet. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's ChumbaCasino.com, and live the Chumba life.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18+.